when Obamacare does mean your health care plan has to change.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama is in Boston today defending his health care reforms. Reports have surfaced of thousands of people getting notices that their health insurance plans will be canceled. This has led to accusations that Obama's key selling point that everyone who liked their policies could keep them wasn't quite true. Marketplace's David Weinberg has been looking into this. David, the White House spokesman, Jake Carney, addressed this issue when he conceded that a small percentage of the population will be affected. So break it down for me. Who is this 5% and why are some of them losing their coverage?
The 5% are people who bought their coverage on the individual market. These are people who aren't covered by their employer or by Medicare or Medicaid. So Carney was asked how the president's claim that everyone could keep their insurance was true when these notices are going out that people will lose their insurance at the end of the year. And his response was that everyone who had health insurance before the Affordable Care Act was signed into law in March of 2010, they can keep their plans. They'll be grandfathered in even if those plans don't meet the new standards. But, and this is the but that critics say invalidates the president's claim, if you bought your insurance after March of 2010, you could lose that coverage. And the White House's argument is that the insurance you get to replace it will be better and cheaper.
Marketplace's David Weinberg, thank you. The fugitive leaker Edward Snowden's former employer has just announced a profits report that beat expectations. Booz Allen makes most of its money contracting with the government to manage technology and security. But the landscape for companies like Booz Allen may be shifting, as Kate Davidson reports.
It's no secret money's tight in Washington. American University professor Gordon Adams says that between sequestration and budget battles...
Well, I think every company, either in the defense business or in the intelligence business, is looking at probably a long-term downward trend.
As for any backlash from the Snowden leaks, well, Todd Harrison is another, less infamous, former Booz Allen employee. He now works at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. He says, yes, some in Congress are skeptical about outsourcing surveillance, asking questions like...
Why did someone like Edward Snowden have the clearance he had, and why was he doing this work in the first place as a contractor?
But he says that skepticism won't have an immediate effect on contractors like Booz Allen. Still, the company acknowledges it makes 99% of its money from the government. In SEC documents, it wrote, "If our relationships with U.S. government agencies are harmed, our future revenue and operating profits would decline." I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Now, there was also a merger today between Booz and Company and the accountants PricewaterhouseCoopers. This Booz does corporate consulting and was spun off from Booz Allen 5 years ago and is now unrelated. Terms of that merger deal are still under wraps. The software company Adobe says a cyber break-in was more extensive than first reported a month ago. Online thieves took data from 38 million customer accounts, including credit card info from 3 million of them, and the source code for Adobe's Photoshop was grabbed, which might allow hackers to circulate malicious copies of the popular photo editing software.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
In Cuba, the government is about to shut down as many as 20,000 businesses that sell clothing. These are businesses that hold licenses to do tailoring and dressmaking, not retail per se, and compete with the Cuban government's official retail operations. This marks a reversal of sorts for the communist government's campaign to let small enterprise flourish. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford is in Havana. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Cuban government, a while back, liberalized commerce to some extent.
Yes, that's right. The government issued a number of licenses to allow people to work in the private sector. And among it was the one license to sell clothes. But what's happened is that the government has now turned around and said that actually these businesses are illegal and that those licenses will be taken away. And so some 20,000 people or so are now at risk of losing their livelihoods.
People use these licenses to start selling clothes one way or another, and they do a pretty good job of it, right? The clothes seem to be reasonable prices by Cuban standards.
And in fact, that's what people really think is behind all of this. They are the shops that people now go to buy what they want to wear. And the state shops are left with far more expensive, far less fashionable clothes, which they're not selling.
Tell me about some of the reaction to this.
What everyone expects here is that simply the fashion sales will go into the black market, which is where they came from in the first place. And people are really angry. You know, this is a country where people don't generally express their feelings too openly. But on this issue, they've spent 3 years operating these businesses. And the question is, what happens to all those people? Previously, they would have worked for the state. Now they're going to be presumably left unemployed or, as I say, on the black market.
The scale of this is quite striking. I mean, you're talking about possibly 20,000 of these enterprises, some small, some larger, having to shut down if the government really cracks down on all of these licenses.
And speaking to economists as well, they've been fairly outspoken on this, saying that the state needs to learn to compete. The government here has set a target of getting 1.5 million people off the state payroll here. It's only managed to get around 400,000 people into private jobs so far. And of course, this step appears to be a step backwards in reaching that target.
The BBC's Sarah Rainsford in Havana. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, before we go, there are the type A people who like to get fully caffeinated with their venti latte with an extra shot at Starbucks, and there are the people who like tea. Starbucks is fully embracing the tea business with the launch in the last week of its Teavana Tea Bar in New York City. CEO Howard Schultz likes to point out that tea is the most consumed beverage next to water around the world. Starbucks wants to take Teavana global, or you just eat some water and put in the tea, your choice. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.